Our scripture for today comes from the Gospel of Mark in the 5th chapter, reading verses 21 through 43. Hear the word of the Lord. When Jesus has crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed him on all sides. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhaging stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's home and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except for Peter, James, and John, the son of James. When he came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the girl's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. May God bless this reading and hearing of this, his holy word. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do come to you with concerns upon our hearts and the troubles of the day and the troubles of the week. Father, for the next few moments, we pray that we might give our full attention to you. May we hear what you would have us hear. May I speak what you would have us me to speak. And may we all understand that which you would have us to understand. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. In the third chapter of Ecclesiastes, verse 1, it says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." And if we drop down to verse 4, it says, "A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." Has anybody here laughed at an inappropriate time? Kids seem to have a knack for doing this. They'll suddenly laugh in church. They'll laugh when they're at a concert. And sometimes they'll even laugh during a funeral service. How many of you have unintentionally made others laugh at an inappropriate time? I did. I did. As many of you know, first funeral that I ever did was for Jane's mother, Helen Hufford. How many of you were there? Okay. I was sad at her passing, but looking back, I'm glad that that was my first funeral because everything just fell into place. And I got up there, did my thing, and I said, Helen didn't want dirge music and boring, dark speech. She wanted music and laughter. And then I had written something that I was like, this is going to be great. And then I said, because what Helen wants, Helen gets. Now the thing was, and this threw me, any of you that knew Helen knew that she was, what's a nice word? She was strong. She was strong-willed. So when I said, and what Helen wants, all of a sudden, the entire congregation starts laughing. And I'm like, wait a minute. What did I do? It took me a minute, but I recovered and we went on. You're not supposed to laugh at a funeral. Come on. I was like, why? What is wrong with you people? But anyhow, so that was one time that I unintentionally made people laugh. It turned out to be pretty appropriate. Now, our scripture today illustrates two times where laughing and mourning kind of got a little bit mixed up. It's near lunchtime, so let me serve you a scripture sandwich. There's two tales here. It's actually a tale within a tale. We start out with Jesus has come across the lake again. There's a leader of the synagogue there who comes, falls down at Jesus' feet and says, "Teacher, my little girl is sick. Please come and heal her." Now this is serious stuff here.
There's nothing playing.
Yeah, I know. Anyhow, stupid Siri. Now, while Jesus is on the way, he's got this crowd of people around him. And there was a woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. Now, ladies, can you imagine that for 12 years? All right. I'm a man and I think it's horrible. So this woman who is desperate says, "If I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed." I mean, she was at kind of the end of her rope. She had seen all these doctors. She spent all of her money, but she hadn't gotten an answer. So Jesus, he's got all these people around him. People are reaching out and just touching him. And this woman comes up and touches the hem of his garment. Now, Jesus feels this. He feels the heavenly power leaving him. And he stops and he says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples in the crowd are like, "Who touched you? Are you kidding, Jesus? You're surrounded by a crowd and everybody is touching you." So people were laughing and they were snickering and well, they thought that Jesus must be playing a joke on us. They didn't take him seriously. They're probably thinking, he's in the middle of a crowd and he asks, "Who touched me? Give me a break." And yet, Jesus looked around, and that woman, who I think might have felt a little ashamed, came up, fell down on her knees, told Jesus the whole story, to which Jesus said, "Go, your faith has made you well." And then people come from the synagogue leader's house to tell him, "Your daughter has died." Things have gotten a little bit more serious here. She was sick, and you know, now she's dead. Jesus comes to the house, and there's people mourning. There's people playing flutes and whatnot, as the tradition was. And Jesus comes in and basically tells them all, "Hey, shut up. She's not dead. She's sleeping." Now, put yourself in the place of the mourners. You got a dead girl upstairs, and you got this guy coming in saying, "Hey, knock it off. She's just sleeping." What are you going to do? Well, I would do this, and the people did it. They laughed at Jesus. They laughed at him. They didn't take him seriously when he said, "She's not dead. She's sleeping." And then he turns around. He goes upstairs. He takes her by the hand. And he raises her from the dead and gives her back to her parents. Unfortunately, these are not isolated incidences of people scoffing at God. Go all the way back to Abraham and Sarah. Okay, Abraham, who was promised, "Your descendants will be more than the stars in the sky, more than the sands on the beach." And yet he and his wife Sarah are old. And when Sarah hears that, she laughs. "Lord, you don't understand. I'm too old to have a child." And yet, she and Abraham did have Isaac, which, I mean, if I'm remembering correctly, means laughter. Yeah, I think so. Then you think about Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. He is doing about his stuff in the temple, and Gabriel shows up. Okay, this is not an ordinary angel. This is Gabriel. Okay, he's high up in the angel hierarchy. And Gabriel says, "You and your wife Elizabeth are going to have a son." And Zachariah's like, "Yeah, right. Sure." He didn't take Gabriel, and therefore he did not take God seriously. And he was struck mute until his son was born, and until he confirmed that his son's name was John. In both cases of Sarah and Zechariah, they laughed because they said, "It's impossible. We are too old." And from a human point of view, they're right. Older people do not have babies. Well, there's a couple exceptions, but in general, it is impossible for an older couple to get pregnant. To the mourners in the synagogue leader's house, they laughed because she's dead. It's impossible to bring her back from death. Dead is dead. I mean, what is Jesus going to do about it? Now, these two stories, this tale within a tale, this scripture sandwich, there doesn't really seem to be a lot that would connect them. But I think Mark throws a little something in here that I think kind of is making a connection here. And it almost seems like a throwaway line when he says, oh yeah, by the way, the girl was 12 years old. So you got a 12-year-old girl, and you got a woman that's been bleeding for 12 years. What else could possibly connect this? Well, as we know, a woman that is menstruating was ritually unclean. So you've got this woman that for 12 years was ritually unclean, and there were certain things that if you were ritually unclean that you did not do, and one of them was to touch other people, less you spread that ritual uncleanness to someone else, and yet this woman touches the hem of Jesus' garment. The same thing with the little girl. Touching a dead body made you ritually unclean. And yet here comes Jesus. He holds the little girl's hand. Again, risking becoming ritually unclean. So we've got a couple things that are connecting this. But this number 12, you have a woman that's bleeding for 12 years. You've got a 12-year-old girl. How many disciples? 12. How many tribes of Israel? 12. Could it be that what Jesus is doing in these two stories, could it possibly be that this new life that Jesus gave to the woman, could it be that the new life that Jesus gave to this little girl was not just for them, but this new life is for the people of God? Jesus reminds us, Mark reminds us that in Jesus that there is abundant life, abundant hope, abundant grace, and abundant love. The story clues us into the fact that Jesus was loosed upon the world full of the power to restore life to that world. And we kind of understand that, but what do to thank God for this particular gift? Well, when opportunities come, we hesitate. We have those opportunities to spread that abundance that was given to us by God. How many of us, when we've gone to a big city like New York, ignore the people that are asking for money, that are downtrodden? How many times are we in a situation where all we've got to do is just listen to what the other person says, but we're in a hurry And all we want to do is try to give them a quick answer. What do we do when we meet someone that needs a little bit of hope, that needs a little bit of comfort? We hesitate. We have this great gospel message, but for the most part, we just let it out in dribs and drabs. Mostly because we don't want to offend anyone. We don't want to make anybody else mad by what we say. We act like the disciples did when the children were trying to come to Jesus, but the disciples were like, no, 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 go away. Go away. You don't need Jesus. You don't need to see Jesus. We act like the disciples when they didn't want to share the minuscule amount of food that they had with the crowd of people. We carefully consider all the conditions under which we will forgive someone who hurt us. Well, I'm not going to forgive them until they fess up to what they did to me. That's the only way that I'm going to take and forgive them. Did Jesus act like that? No. Jesus was a font of God's power. He gave lavishly, while we in turn are a little bit stingy. When we experience the abundance of God's grace, we can't help but take what Jesus said seriously. In Jesus, God has a way of transforming our dismissive laughter into tears of joy, our skepticism into speechless amazement. When this happens to us, as it did for that desperate, grieving father and a sick, ostracized woman, we know what it is to be made whole. Because of that abundance, and because we take God seriously and Jesus seriously, there are a number of promises that are told in the gospel. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I'm not going to forgive them till they forgive me or they confess up to what they did. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Come on, Pastor. Those can't possibly be true. Dear Lord God, you have got to be kidding. But the thing is, if you take God seriously, if you take Jesus seriously, all of these promises are true. Amen.